request actually to turn in, I don't know if Dr. Peter Thomas asked you, to turn in just a little write-up about what you're planning to do for the project. So, two piles. I'll actually put the sign change. Mine's here. Christie's there. Yes. There's five of you in your group? No. As long as all the names are on there. Are there any questions about the project? Any questions about what we talked about this fall thus far in the court? Are we going to meditate today? Maybe we should just start doing that now while we're waiting. Yeah. Of course, my bell is upstairs. So. Okay. So, here's going to be a new meditation. We're all going to be the bell. We're all going to be the bell. Ready? And we do the bell three times. Ready? Sinus arrhythmia.
your breathing and how that might be influencing your physical reactions, your emotional tone, your safety.
Well, good morning, and Thank you, Brad, for the very kind introduction.
Thank you.
This classroom is a challenge for me because, as my last patient said, she died. She said, I'm stopped. So it's a challenge to speak to this big room, but I'll do the best that I can. And if we have to, we'll use the speaker system. So, I'm thrilled to see you here today. Think back 30 years ago when I decided to start last year. Imagine a class of your size. And I guess I'm going to be talking to you today about what it was like and what had to happen for you to make that message from Bible. And talk about some of the challenges of the room. And hopefully, you and your bit of my philosophy of how to think about things in the room, like how to think and how to think about making the world a better place for all of you. And as we go along, my preference would be that this be interaction, and I'm having some fun with it. So in case something comes up that you are curious about, or you disagree with me about, okay, so let's think back. Actually, let me start a bit with my own story. So, back in the year 1971, and I am half the working way as a researcher at the University of Washington School of Medicine, Department of Pathology. And my wife is quite involved in doing medical research, right? The idea of helping make the world a better place in Los Angeles. And what was interesting is that the reason I was doing that is because a year before I made a graduate school, a doctoral program at Cornell University, and that was at the height of the Vietnam War. And I decided, and when I looked at the work I was doing, I thought it would lead to wartime activity. And I thought to myself, I just may want to do that. And so I met up with a bunch of my college friends in Las Vegas in a couple of Christmas breaks. And while there, I introduced to vegetarianism. And so I decided to be a vegetarian. And I kind of started thinking differently about my life. And that's the point where I decided to do what I did in graduate school. Is I come out here working with Washington as a researcher. And I was very happy to do that. And so my wife was a lot changes from being a vegetarian. And I thought that was good. Asked the medical doctor I was working with, what he changes meant. He looked at me and said, well, you know, they're thinking of the and I thought, well, that's I see a change in my body. I clearly can't do it. But, you know, that was standard medical perspective at that point. But that was not important. So, anyway, working on medical research. And then the woman who married my roommate from college had been suffering from all her adult life. And then suddenly she was cured. And I thought, well, that was a good chance. What happened? She said, well, I went to an empathic doctor. He said, what empathic doctor was that? I mean, that's how naive I was. I didn't know there was anything sacred. I didn't know there was anything other than medical doctors in the world. You know, occasionally drive down the road, I see a chiropractor and stuff, chiropractor all the time. But that was it. So I said, an empathic doctor said, yeah, he cured me. So I said, okay, well, you know, I'm kind of open-minded, interested in things. I decided to go and visit the naturopathic doctor and ask him what he did with my friend. And he said, well, I detoxified her liver. Detoxified her liver? What's that got to do with her joints being swollen? And he said, well, you know, the body is one. Everything works together. And because her liver was not detoxified, a chemical toxin she was exposed to, there was a positive immunity and inflammation because of it. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. I decided to take a chance. I asked him, you know, I'm going through these changes from a vegetarian. What do they mean? He went off to his bookshelf, pulled from his bookshelf guidance on physiology. That was at that point the major physiology textbook in medical school. So he went, he leads through it and said, well, here's what's going on physiologically. I thought, well, that's interesting. And they found the doctor knows physiology better than the MD, PhD researcher. I thought, gee, I'm going to investigate further. So I said, well, can I spend a few days at your office and see what you're doing with patients? He said, well, that'd be fine. So I spent a few days in his office, and I saw a whole pair of cases out of the medical case being defined as patients who were medical failures coming to this man and would die and rise out of an early society who was bringing back health. I thought, well, this is fascinating. No, I think I'm not going to that type of profession is really talking about. We're talking one, maybe five members who left the country, they have to be in Seattle. The 2 years before I entered, because it goes through the that year, my class was a real surprise to me. I actually had 12 students in my class. For them, it was very exciting. And the school's been kept alive by basically the dedication of the doctors. And these are doctors who would basically donate their time, drive from as far away as they had to use pressure on them to come and teach you and take that medicine to the rest of the life. So the education was a challenge. On the one hand, it is effective clinicians teaching you, but on the other hand, they were not professional teachers. And so the quality of class was pretty limited. And being a young, precocious, and obnoxious student, I would sometimes read a chapter head in the textbook and ask the professor questions about that, and the president would ask about the textbook. So I kind of look back and think that all the challenges that the students are going to be here is not that good. So, graduated in 75, and that year, 7 graduated, which was for the profession, which is really, really big news, because that was the most important 2 decades. So we graduated, and conditions were pretty grim. As you looked at what was going on at that time, based on medicine, there were now only 6 state licenses, 2 states of disability. There was no public acceptance, no insurance coverage. If you ever saw a newspaper article about natural medicine, there's about some first trial of being a Catherine being poisoned by the serve. It was all very negative. But realize that that this could be better. And I think probably the worst time for the profession, at least for me, came when I was a third-year student, and we were on a field trip with Dr. Bastier up in the mountains. And of course, field trips with Dr. Bastier were precious, because we go and we go up into the mountains. And you know, in the Northwest, we have a huge variety of wild herbs growing. So we go up and go see the herbs in their wild environment, and he tells us what they were used for clinically, and it was a lot of fun. But unfortunately, in that third year, there was a Washington State Supreme Court decision that said basically that these ethnic doctors do not have the right to diagnose and treat disease. And they've defined diagnosis and treatment very broadly, so that if you diagnose, for example, a patient being dehydrated and gave them water, you're diagnosed and treated. So it was really important for their time. So I went to Dr. Bester and asked him, Dr. Bester, does this profession have a future? And he looked at me and in this kind, inimitable manner, I'm sorry, you don't have to answer me, but I where have you worked after? For many years, you've worked at this point, worked after this. Anyway, I looked at him and he said, no matter the obstacles, the truth of our medicine will win out. And those were both of the best. So anyway, we graduated in 1975, and it was a pretty grim time. But there are lots of people in the world who are also seeking help. So I established my shingle in 1975 in a tiny little 400 square foot office on the second floor above a health center up on Green Hill. And within 6 months, I was closed. 3 months in the past. And why was that? Well, it was because by applying simple natural education as medicine to sick people and help them get better, they become a threat. That actually is the key to your own personal success. That is, be good at what you do. And you won't mind basically coming to the health. Anyway, but I became also very frustrated when I was doing this practice because I saw the people behind the struggle and not doing particularly good job education. I also started to realize that when I would see a patient, I may see it for half an hour once a month, but in the ensuing months, they get 1,000 telephone messages with a few minutes of food messages I can give them. And I started to realize that one, you have to change the environment, you have to come out there and treat the patient. And second is that HMS medicine has so much to offer, but it had to grow up. It had to be modern standards of education, research, clinical practice, etc. And so I decided that it was time to do a lot of it. So we all together, together, have more quantified it all the academic research. It was pretty bad. So, right, in terms of public acceptance, this was the age of miracle drugs, and actually successfully cured a lot of diseases. Everybody thought that drugs were the way to go, that drug medicine would get everything done. Practitioners were not respected. I mentioned before, the only media stories were tragedies and children being poisoned. I think about 80 poisoned persons in the dark. There were less than 500 NDAs left in the whole country. And many of the therapeutic agents were inactive. So here's an example. One of my fellow students who ended up not finishing the program was a pharmacist. And just got done taking herbal medicine class last year. And one of the herbs we're talking about, taught us to use for people with high blood pressure, was gelsemia. So we went to our pharmacy and we had teacher gelsemia, and this pharmacist took a little taste of it.